You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 team.
Hello, Dodger fans. Welcome to Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. This is the daily podcast covering the world champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I am Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential, along with Vince Semperio of Chavez Ravine Fiends. Vince, how's it going?
Jeff, I'm doing well and ready to talk.
Yeah, rough game for the Lakers, but luckily we're not locked on Lakers, so we don't have to talk about that. I thought they were going to pull it out, but you know, the Utah Jazz won and now are ahead of the Lakers, so I think that means I'm beating you. So if only I cared about basketball so I could take some pride in that.
There you go.
Today we
take what you get.
Yeah, we're not going to talk much about basketball. We're going to talk about Alana Rizzo's news, talk a little bit more about the Hall of Fame, and then we're going to talk about Jock Peterson and some of the rumblings and rumors about him. So that's the plan. But first, we want to remind you, please subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. And when you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. All right, so the only real big news coming out of Dodgerland on Wednesday was that Alana Rizzo is leaving Sportsnet LA. Her announcement was kind of cryptic. She said she wasn't retiring. She was moving on to something else. Basically seemed like to be closer to family. She's from Denver originally, or at least spent a lot of time in Denver. I know she's a Broncos fan and used to work for the Rockies. So I think she's also a University of Colorado fan. So she's definitely got some Colorado ties. But yeah, we don't really know where she's going or what she's going to be doing, but it's a little bit of a bummer to lose her. You know, there she gets a lot of guff from a lot of people for a lot of different things. And but the fact is she's really good at her job. And the few times I've met her in person, she's been very friendly. And so yeah, I'm sad to see her go. It's not a huge deal. A sideline reporter isn't really, I mean, Dodgers didn't even have them for a long time. So it's not a huge deal, but it's a loss, I think.
It's definitely a loss. Yeah. And she's from Colorado. I don't know if Denver specifically or just outside Denver, but whatever. Yeah. Not really sure. You know, she says she's going to keep up with her dog saving foundation. And you would imagine that takes up a lot of time. I don't know if she's going to go to that full time. Not sure if she's going to get another job. I know that she, as much as she doesn't want people to know, that she got engaged to Chris Iannetta, the former, I think he retired. So maybe she just wanted to spend time with him since he's retired or whatever it is. I know that she made John Heyman delete the tweet when he tweeted about it last year. Well, sad to see her go. She was really good at her job, regardless of what people think about her thing, her decisions on social media. But she was always there to have the first question ready to go for any of the scrums. Had, for the most part, good questions. Seemed to get along with a lot of the players. A lot of the players seemed to respond to her pretty well. And yeah, I guess the only real question now is how the Dodgers or Sportsnet LA specifically attacks this position. Do they go after somebody well known already? Somebody new? Keep it female? Does it not matter? So it'll be interesting to see what the process is. And I hope, I don't think so, because we probably would have seen other things, but I would hope, I know I've seen some other regional sports networks have to let people go, but I don't think this was that case. Like, I don't think it was like a, oh, well, Alana, we're going to let you go, but maybe you want to go out on your own type of terms. I just think that whatever it is, whoever she wants to be closer to or closer with is what she's going to focus on now.
Yeah, there is the possibility, of course, that it was something like that. It was either, you know, move on your own or be moved on. But yeah, there's the Dodgers and Sportsnet LA both wished her very well. And so, yeah, it's a loss. I don't know if Kelly Tennant is still with the team or not. She was kind of the backup for a while. I know David Vesse has served that role. I'm definitely opposed to that one because he's a blubbering moron. So, you know, but whoever it is, or maybe they'll go a different direction and go back to not having the sideline reporters. I don't know. But either way, good luck, Alana, in whatever you're doing next. I want to talk a little bit about the Hall of Fame. You talked yesterday in your solo show about the Hall of Fame and the fact that nobody got elected. And I was a little sad that I missed that episode because I have some thoughts, and none of them are really related to the Dodgers. I do want to officially inform you that I'm not on board the one-year eBay train. I'm sorry. I won't fight against you in your efforts, but I...
I didn't even want to get 5%.
Well, no. One-year eBay is not nearly close enough to being an actual Hall of Famer for me to get on board with that. I was surprised. Looking at his stats, did you know that the year the Dodgers traded him, that was the only year in his entire career that he had negative defensive value? He was a positive defensive player the rest of his career. And I wouldn't have necessarily guessed that based on his stature and build and whatnot. But so the fact nobody got elected wasn't really a surprise. Everybody on the ballot, there's some reason why you wouldn't vote for him. You know, some guys just obviously aren't deserving, like Juan Uribe or Dan Heron or whatever. But then, you know, Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens obviously have their PED histories. Same with Manny Ramirez and a few other guys. Omar Vizquel is apparently a wife beater, allegedly. Have to say allegedly. So he lost some points. Kurt Schilling made the mistake of saying his views out loud. I think there's probably plenty of guys in the Hall of Fame who are, as you know, if the writers knew what everybody actually thought on the inside, there's plenty of guys who the voters would have found as objectionable as Kurt Schilling. They just don't say it out loud. So apparently keeping your mouth closed is a Hall of Fame qualification now. But for me, the one person who, even though I know people argue against it, I have a hard time personally seeing any arguments against, and that's Scott Rolen. Scott Rolen to me is a clear Hall of Famer, and it's really baffling to me that he isn't getting voted in. He was a very good hitter. I made a list on Twitter today. I don't know if you saw it. Guys who are in the Hall of Fame who were worse hitters and worse fielders than Scott Rolen. You got Kirby Puckett, Paul Molitor, Tony Perez, Ernie Banks, Andre Dawson, Craig Biggio, Roberto Alomar, Barry Larkin, Ryan Sandberg, Robin Yount, Lou Brock. Those are just the guys who played in my lifetime who were worse at both hitting and fielding than Scott Rolen. And in every case, they're all a lot worse than at fielding. And Rolen was a good hitter. He would be kind of borderline if he was just an offensive player. But the fact is, he's one of the four best defensive third basemen in baseball history. And for me, if you're top five at anything in baseball history, you should be in the Hall of Fame. Even closers. You know, the five best closers are in the Hall of Fame. Maybe Billy Wagner might have a case, and I wouldn't be opposed to that. But pretty much anything, if you're one of the five best, you should be in the Hall of Fame. So for me, the fact that Scott Rolen isn't in is baffling to me, and you know, I understand. I would have voted for a lot of guys who people didn't vote for, but I understand why they didn't get voted for. The only reason I can think of that people didn't vote for Scott Rolen is that they don't appreciate defense or something. But I don't know if you have any Scott Rolen thoughts or not, Vince.
The Hall of Fame, I'm not that big, or I don't have too strong opinions on. I remember Scott Rolen. You know, I never remembered him as, oh my God, Scott Rolen, like, you know, one of the best players in the game. Although he might have been at the time, he just probably it didn't help like where he played, and he was just such a quiet guy. So I'm on board with him getting in if that's the case. And if he doesn't eventually get in, he'll for sure get in with the Veterans Committee. But he probably shouldn't have to wait that long.
Yeah, and it kind of worked against him that most of his career he was teammates with either peak Bobby Abreu, who was a very good hitter, or peak Albert Pujols, who is one of the best hitters of all time. And so he was rarely even the big star on his own team, although he was the best offensive player on his own team five times, even though he was teammates with Abreu and Pujols. And so, maybe he gets overshadowed by his teammates. And, you know, some people just don't appreciate defense as much. But at third base. But I mean, he's a better hitter than Brooks Robinson, who is in the Hall of Fame on the first ballot. And Robinson was definitely better than him defensively. Robinson was otherworldly defensively. But yeah, Scott Rolen is a Hall of Famer. That's my, and he played against the Dodgers. So there, that's how it ties into a Dodgers podcast. Scott Rolen, former Dodgers opponent, is a Hall of Famer. So we'll come back in a minute and we'll talk about former and probably not future Dodger Jock Peterson and some of the rumors about him. So keep it locked on Dodgers. All right. So on Wednesday, there were rumors that Jock Peterson is in touch with the Giants. And this caused a lot of mixed emotions on social media, I know. Some people were just basically want Jock to sign anywhere other than the Giants. Other people are kind of fine with it. And I find myself being in the kind of fine with it camp. And I think it's because even when Jock was on the Dodgers, you know, it was kind of a running joke. I had like two or three off seasons in a row where I was advocating for the Dodgers to sell high on Jock Peterson, trade him while his value's high. After the 2017 World Series, when he had a good postseason, I said, okay, trade him. Then after 2018, when he had a bounce back season, okay, trade him. And then after 2019 was the first time I didn't say it. And then the Dodgers actually did trade him, and the trade fell apart. And now they don't get a chance to trade him because he is a free agent. But, Jock Peterson against the Dodgers doesn't scare me. And so, you know, I'm kind of like, oh, cool. That Jock could see his old buddies 19 times a year. Sure, go ahead and sign with the Giants. What do you think, Vince?
Any player signing with the Giants, it's not, I don't know, you just don't want to see him with the Giants. But when it comes to practicality, at least right now on the Dodgers front, the Giants aren't a threat. So if Jocktober is in fact a real thing, the Dodgers wouldn't have to worry about it unless he got traded midway through the season or whatever by the Giants. And if he's at this point, like we said for Kike and Jock, same thing is go get your money, you know, however it comes, however you want to be, or go get your playing time if that's the other case. And the Giants one seems interesting because with Zaidi over there, you would imagine that Jock would still be treated as a platoon player, mainly only playing against right-handed pitching. Now, obviously, if nobody else wants him to play every day, then he has to pick the best deal of being a platoon player. But you would imagine that Jock, although his interest might be there because the interest is in him, he probably still wants to go somewhere where he thinks he can get 500-600 plate appearances like Kike thought, or even Kike did. So I'm not sure how much the interest level is there on Jock's side, at least right now, until he knows, okay, there's only like two deals. I got to take one of them. I don't mind him going to the Giants because of the fact that it's not going to hurt the Dodgers in the any type of postseason run.
Yeah, I wonder how much self-awareness Jock has about his actual abilities against lefties. I remember his rookie year, he got a big hit against a lefty, and somebody asked him about it after the game. And his comment was like, well, I hit lefties fine in the minors. I don't know why you guys are so surprised. But the fact is, since he hit the majors, at least, I haven't looked at his minor league splits. I don't know if he was lying about that or not, but basically he was given a year and a half of everyday play, and just he was given the opportunity, and he proved he can't hit lefties, and he's continued to prove that. And you know, he just I wonder how much he knows that, how aware he is that no contending team is going to give him an everyday job, but being a lefty, you know, he still could get the bulk of the at-bats in a platoon. You know, obviously a late-inning pinch hitter. He saw plenty of playing time with the Dodgers. And so for me, if I were Jock Peterson, I would be looking for the best contract, not necessarily the most playing time. And I wonder if he has enough self-awareness to be in that same mindset.
I mean, I'm sure he knows what it's going to come down to. But if there's a team willing to offer to him, I'm sure that's something that he'd be very interested in. Now, here's something. I threw it out on Twitter, kind of jokingly, kind of not, after Kike left. And, you know, it seemed like Baez, Wood, and Kike all happened in the span of 2 weeks or whatever. And I said, at this point, just keep Jock. And I got a little bit more pushback than I thought. And, you know, fans are getting smarter, at least the ones that follow me. So that's a good thing. But is there a true downside if the Dodgers were to bring back Jock, assuming the deal is comparable to what they want to do?
I guess it depends a little bit on what the roster is going to be, the roster size. If they really go to the 26-man roster like they were supposed to before 2020, assuming they don't expand rosters for COVID, I don't really see Jock serving much purpose. This is kind of based on the assumption that they bring back Justin Turner to play third base. So you have Edwin Rios on the bench. He can be that left-handed bat off the bench. He can play some places. You have Zach McKinstry, if they want to bring him up, who could play the outfield as a left-handed bat. You've got that Rayleigh kid who they got back from the Twins, who's a left-handed hitting outfielder. You've got
Rex and Beatty.
Zach Rex. And Matt Beatty is, for me, the biggest one. That Beatty got no playing time in 2020. And what we saw in 2019 is that Matt Beatty can hit. And we know he can play several positions. I don't think he's a spectacular outfielder, but I think he's probably roughly on par with Jock defensively in the outfield, maybe a little bit worse, but passable anyway. And I think he's a guy who can hit lefties better than Jock anyway. He's not great against lefties, but he's a very good hitter against righties. And so you have so many left-handed options that for me, unless Jock wanted to come back for like $5 million, then maybe. But even then, I don't know for sure, because they've got guys who are making roughly the league minimum who I think can replace most of what Jock was bringing to the table offensively.
To bring him back, like I said, unless it's an insane deal, probably not it. But if they think, you know, with the amount of names that you just mentioned, there's a lot of names there. And let's just say they bring back Jock, hypothetically, and then they end up needing a reliever at the deadline. So that some of those other guys get opened up because they're major league ready. A lot of teams are looking for cheap major league talent right now. A lot of those guys fit the role that you just said in Rex, Rayleigh, and Matt Beatty. And, you know, Edwin Rios and McKinstry are probably a step above just because they play infield a little more prominently, you know, third base and more premium positions. But it could be one where if the number is right, they could bring back Jock cheap and do, you know, have those guys available for trade if they need to, or even trade them right away. But yeah, I don't see it happening. It was more so me of just like, hey, we're losing a bunch of the guys from the 2020 team and some guys from longer than that. But yeah, I don't think it's practical, although I would love his offense. And I'm not sure, you don't know what you're gonna get from Jock. If you were gonna say, okay, I got 2019 Jock, then yeah, I'm taking him over pretty much any of those other guys that you named. But you don't know what you're gonna get. And to put everything into that and hope that he continues to do what he's done in October. And he was a way different hitter in October, more patient, still hitting the ball hard, but was finding a little bit more holes and obviously hitting the ball over the wall. But yeah, I just don't, it's not practical, but it was just more me saying like, oh man, we're losing the boys.
Yeah. And I get that. And there's definitely a part of me that will be sad to see Jock playing in another uniform. And especially if it's a Giants uniform, it'll be weird to see him on the other side of that rivalry. But it's one of those things where it's not, for me, it's not the same as if it was. Obviously Kershaw, I never want to see him in any other uniform. You know, Seager, Bellinger, one of those guys, even though Jock has been a big contributor, he's been with the team longer than those guys, but it's just, something about Jock. I like Jock. But I don't feel that attachment to him that I feel to a lot of the guys. And honestly, it's the same way I feel about Pedro Baez and Kike Hernandez and Alex Wood. Like, oh yeah, I like the guys. I have a fondness for them, but I haven't been sad to see any of them go, really.
So you're saying that the MVPs and best players on the Dodgers, you're more attached to than the role players?
Yeah, the guys who help my favorite team win more.
Yeah, well,
those
mean,
are the guys who
given.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. It's maybe that's simple-minded, but you know, there's. I don't know. I'm trying to think if there are any guys who. That's the problem. All the Dodgers have is MVPs these days. You know. Max Muncy. I'm more attached to Muncy than I am to Jock. They're probably similar, maybe as far as contributor wise. I'd be sadder to see Muncy go than Jock. but I don't know why. And but also, yeah, I wouldn't be as sad to see Muncy go as I would be to see, you know, one of the best players, even though Muncy is a big contributor. So I don't know what Jock's I don't know who he rooted for growing up. He grew up in Giants territory, but his dad played for the Dodgers, but that was 6 or 7 years before Jock was even born. So I don't know if there was any I kind of assume he grew up a Giants fan, possibly an A's fan. But I don't know. Have you ever heard anything about where his team loyalties were growing up?
Yeah, I don't remember ever seeing anything, but Jock seems like the kid that was either following a player or just following whoever was good.
Yeah, we know his brother's favorite player was Albert Pujols, right?
Yeah.
Champ is a big Albert Pujols fan, but I assume that has to do with Albert Pujols' work with Down syndrome people.
Yeah.
So that's, yeah, I don't know, but, you know, I could definitely see Jock being the kind of guy who would enjoy going to the other side of the rivalry just for almost for trolling sake, you know?
Yeah. And like you said, he'd get to see the guys 19 times a year and be close to them in spring training. So that's also another good thing.
And get October's off. So,
yeah, there you go.
Yep. Yeah. So we'll see what happens. Things are starting to move. There have been a lot of little moves on the trade market and the free agent market. Things are starting to settle a little bit. You mentioned JT Realmuto signing and Marcus Semien signing. And so I assume Jock Peterson's going to find a home soon. Trevor Bauer's going to find a home soon. Justin Turner is going to re-sign with the Dodgers soon. And we'll know all these answers soon. But for now, it's fun to speculate on Jock wearing the orange and black. Ew.
Yeah, and gives us an episode.
Yep. You got any final thoughts, Vince?
Got no final thoughts today.
All right. We would love to hear what you guys think about the idea of Jock as a Giant. Do you love it? Do you hate it? Do you not care? Thanks for listening. Please continue to listen. If you haven't done so yet, subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. If you have Apple Podcasts, subscribe there to help other people find us. And we'd love it if you rate and review us, especially if you have nice things to say about us. If you have mean things to say about us, Vince's Twitter handle is Vince Samperio, and his DMs are open. If you have nice things you want to send directly to me, I'm at Snydog. My DMs are open. You can send them to the show at Locked On Dodgers on Instagram and Twitter. DMs are open there too. You can also email us, lockedondodgers@gmail.com, or you can text us or send us a voicemail at 323-863-LOCK-5625. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree, you just have to listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good one.
D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all hard. All heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles.
Do you think we'll really win the pennant?
Bye!